Hello?
Shut your pie hole.
Sorry, Dad.
Hello, everybody. We had an episode of The Bachelorette last night. Still weirded out that it's happening on Tuesdays. Not sure why that is. Probably because I don't really watch live TV and I only watch Netflix. But... So I watched it last night, and after I watched it, Katie came over and we decided that we would recap it for you guys. I know that we both have really good opinions, or so I think. And I also have my friend Danielle here, and if she feels very compelled by an opinion, she's going to jump in and say hers. So three amazing ladies just talking about The Bachelorette. Isn't that what all of you girls are doing right now anyway? All the women around the world are gathering and talking about The Bachelorette. Also, I am very stoned. But let's get this started.
Wow, that's okay. Amazing. I was sitting here cheering you on for that intro, Demi. Hi, guys.
Katie, I'm so glad you're here with me. Yeah, it was good until it wasn't. But yeah.
Incredible. Okay.
So just real quick, though, Katie, how have you been lately? What's new with you? Anything you want to talk about before we get started?
Honestly, what's new with me? Well, I just got back from hanging out with my parents in Bear a lot. That was really nice.
Can you sound a little bit more enthusiastic for us?
Demi, I'm so sorry. Let me sit up straight right quick.
So, Demi, yes. Give it to me, Katie. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry I said that. That was filthy. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it like that at all. But, you know, I do that to myself. Sorry. So take it away.
So I just came back from my parents' house. And yeah, I mean, that's it. There's really nothing. I wanted for this hot second to sound like, I don't know, like I'm doing stuff. I'm not.
Me either.
It's quarantine. You know, I'm working. I'm not doing anything of like to write home about at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like we're all kind of existing at this time. Are we always doing that?
We're all existing. It's been interesting. I've traveled. I have.
Any new furniture?
No, my God. Help my wallet. I need to take a pause because I did travel back home, and which in the beginning of quarantine, I didn't see a single soul for 12 weeks, but then my mental health needed a soul. And so I needed to go. I have been seeing people as my personal choice, as safe as I possibly can do it. But like I went home and saw my family, and oh my God, I needed it. Yeah. I was like so happy to see them that, I mean, we do the best we can. And my parents are just like needed to see me. It's crazy because I actually spent almost a month there, and I haven't been home for over a week ever in 10 years.
Wow.
So that's crazy because I left my parents' house when I was like 18 to go to school, and then I did sports all over winter break. So, and I always took summer school. So I literally was never home for more than a week.
Yeah. Whenever I met your parents, the first time, they were definitely here. They came here to see you. The whole fam did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Your parents and your brother. And I know that you haven't been there in a long time, but I'm really glad that you got to do that. Yeah. And we did go together.
Yeah,
and
so
I was only there for a few days, but it was so fun to be able to meet your family and see where you're from. And you introduced me to this amazing place, Jeremiah's.
Yes,
this delicious like Italian ice.
Yeah, and soft serve.
Yeah, so it's like Italian ice, and you can get it mixed with soft serve, and it was so good.
It's so good.
I had so much fun getting to spend time with you and your family.
Thanks. I know she, whenever you spend time with me and my family, you have chicken pot pie running through your veins.
I can't stop thinking about that chicken pot pie.
I had it probably 4 to 5 times. Not kidding.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
I was like, Mom, you've got to stop. Honestly, get a separate fridge for Hank. I don't want to see what Hank has to eat every day.
Oh, Hank don't is put that in my Katie's. Hank is Katie's brother. For those of y'all who don't know, he looks just like Katie, except for taller. They are not twins, but they do look like it. They are both just beautiful humans, and her whole family is so amazing.
Thank you. Hank went popping off on my Instagram. I was like, hey, boy, do you want to take the Instagram over?
What do you mean?
Do you want to just take it as your own? I posted my brother, introduced them, or I introduced Hank as my brother, and like kind of cleared it up that we are not twins. And they went off. I was like, wow, I know who my demographic is. If I didn't know already, my demographic is young, single women. Young single women, obviously, that watch The Bachelor.
Hank, we need you to move to LA.
That's the people watching The Bachelor. Young single women are young, or I mean, any women with.
We need Hank, but we need to run 95% like, Instagram and like you know, so we can somehow profit off of all of it.
So now we're Kris Jenner's to Hank Morton.
Oh my gosh,
he hates social media too. So it's really funny. He didn't hate me posting. Obviously, I wouldn't do that if he wasn't comfortable. But he, after I posted, he was like, so what was the point of that? I'm like, touche, my friend. Touche.
It's for clicks.
I was like, I don't know, Hank. Validation, okay? Let me have it.
I need some clicks on my story. I need some interaction. Like, I feel it.
Amazing.
Trust me, every time I'm with you, I'm sure as hell posting it, Katie. I'm like, yes, I'm with Katie. She's my friend. She loves me. But also, we clearly are very good friends. But
also did get a lot of text messages that day that were like, Hank looks like Dale. Which I don't see it.
I don't think that their features, except for, like, they probably have the same skin color like you do.
Yeah, it's like... Hank,
the eyes are different, the nose is different, the mouth is different, the ears are different.
I'm looking at Dale's photo right now. That is not even close to what Hank looks
like.
But I had so...
No, it's literally just the skin color.
And the eyes.
The eyes? No, he has bigger eyes.
No. Not shape, color.
Color? Yeah. I don't even remember what color his eyes were.
They're like green. I'm zooming in, y'all, to a picture of Dale right now.
So do you and Hank have the same colored eyes?
No. Hank has green and I have lighter brown.
I don't think that they look alike. I think the only thing... Yeah, but it's kind of hot.
Sexy.
Oh my God, Danielle.
Oh God, guys.
Sorry.
No, I think it's just like the skin color and the fact that they're both attractive.
Yeah.
And tall and athletic.
I can't really chime in on this. I do think my brothers, both men are good looking men.
Yeah. Look at those distance between their eyes. They're different. They're different.
I don't think we got to pick it apart too much. Basically, my brother and Dale are just two mixed guys with light eyes and great smiles.
And on that note.
You're doing well, boys. Keep it up.
And on that note, that's why people have called me Hillary Duff, Taylor Swift, all of those things.
Okay, on that note, speaking of Dale looking good or whatever... I can't chime in on that because it's weird because my brother. But speaking of Dale doing so well, do we want to talk about Claire's season?
Yes, I have a lot to say about Claire's season. This episode tonight, last episode, you know, it's different now that I'm recapping them because I have to like pay attention so much so I can remember what I'm like talking about in it. And I want to make notes. Whereas I used to just watch and be like, no, yeah, whatever that was. Oh, unless I was on it, then of course I was glued to it. But like Peter's season, I was like, oh yeah, I kind of can half pay attention. And now I want to recap it because I feel like, you know, people would like to hear about that. Also, hopefully. I'm trying to make a dime here. I thought it'd be so fun to talk to you about it because I know that you are a very level-headed thinker and you have good, strong opinions. I will get them right now. I will fight them for you. But So we cut to the Bachelorette after the recap of what did we learn from last week? That Claire and Dale are in love and that we all know that they're probably going to be together, but we can't confirm that officially. We can't confirm that they pregame the season. Either way, that's all we got was validation for the rumors last week without the Bachelor actually airing the validation. It was just whatever. So we cut to the guys at the La Quinta this episode when it starts.
Mm-hmm.
The first date, we have Jordan C. Aw, he's got glasses. That's cute.
Jordan C. Oh, yeah. I don't think anyone wants to hear, oh, that's cute. You know, that's what Jordan C.'s feeling like on that date. That's how he's feeling with the Dale connection. That he's just the, oh, that's cute one.
See, I don't know. I don't think it's a nice guy. I think it's cute when people have glasses and they like rock their glasses in a photo. Like some people like me, I have glasses.
No,
but if I'm taking a photo, I'm wearing contacts. So if I see, maybe I should say, oh, that's hot.
Wow, that's definitely a different vibe. You say what you feel because that was a whole different vibe than the cute.
I didn't mean anything I just said. Okay.
What?
I want to move on. Okay, so then we have Yosef, who Yosef is clearly the villain.
Are you a fan of Yosef?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Oh, no. He terrifies me. We have Ivan, who I love Ivan.
Okay.
Ivan's super cute, oh, yeah. And he talked about, like, we know that was this episode. I almost spoiled the thing. Okay, yeah, I like Ivan a lot. We have Ben. Ben was the first one out of the limo, and I only remember that because I was the first one out of the limo.
Okay.
He lives down
the street from me, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. I'm unimpressed by him, but I'm unimpressed by pretty much everyone. Bennett.
Oh, I think Bennett is cute.
I don't like Bennett.
But, like, in the this is funny and cute way,
can say cute, and I can't say cute.
No, you can say cute. I'm just letting you know. Like,
he's definitely attractive.
He's the one that's in the robe and stuff, right? He's, like, in the robe prancing. Or, no, he's prancing.
He's the one that went to Harvard, and he's, like, been bragging about himself ever since he got on. Listen, I think he's physically attractive, but he seems like bad news to me.
Yeah, I missed the bragging about himself part. I think I skipped over that.
Well,
this episode.
Yeah, it's easy to kind of do that just because, like, I don't know.
I just, keep going.
Everyone talks while we watch the show, so I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, then we have Zach C. and Zach J.
Zach C. and Zach J. Okay, cool. So we're in here. We're on this date.
And Dale.
Well, yeah.
So here's the thing. We all know, obviously, there's been this rumor that Claire and Dale have pre-gamed the season pretty much, and they already knew each other. They got to know each other once quarantine happened and it all got shut down. Everyone had to go home. Dale reached out to Claire. Claire reached out to Dale. Who knows? And then that's the rumor. There's no evidence of this, but everyone just assumes it to be true. So as they're filming this season, they have... The first person that Claire runs and hugs on this date is Dale. She runs straight to him and he like picks her up. And now we're talking about learning love languages. So, Katie, what are your love languages? And maybe just kind of describe them because you're good at explaining things.
Oh, the five love languages are acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, and gift giving or receiving. And these acts of service, these love languages are within, you know, friendships and romantic relationships, as well as any other types of relationships you have with people outside of things. So, in one sense, it's the way that you give love, and in one sense, it's the way that you receive love. That's the theory on the five love languages. So, they go on this date and have to do things that are, what I understood from it is that Claire's love language is one strong one is words of affirmation. That's what I thought at first, but I realized that they just chose, like, maybe they did choose her top three or something.
Yeah, because they didn't go over all of them.
No, because I said, where's that acts of service in this bitch? That's one of my number one.
I know, I was looking for acts of service too. I was doing stuff for her.
You guys aren't doing acts of service? Well, then all of you are fired.
I know, I was like, make my life easier. That's all I want. Are you kidding me?
No acts of service? None of you.
The first that they did talk about was the words of affirmation.
Yes.
And they talked about...
Which, by the way, let's just skip straight to the part where I totally believed everything Dale said in that words of affirmation. I was like on board with him.
I have his. Dale can't remember how to find love. Claire made him comfortable and he's committed to giving her everything he has. He's here for her. What the hell did we not see? Like, how do they have this connection that is this strong? That he would say something that is such a declaration.
Okay, he said, I'm here. That's what he said at the very end. It said, yeah. I'm here.
I have peace here.
Let me just tell you that the way he executed that versus the person directly before him, I don't even remember who it was. That person said, here I am. And it was way more awkward than I'm here somehow, but that's because of their actual connection, I think.
I can't even say what I put about the person before him.
The guy before him, he said, here I am at the end. And Dale said, I'm here at the end. And it might have been completely out of order considering they can do that. But
it's the music, too, that they do. They put that music every time her and Dale are together to where you're just like sucked in and you're like, if you are just watching it kind of blindly, you're like, oh my gosh, like there is a connection. Then I'm like, wait, these people just met. They probably talked a total of 30 minutes at this point, maybe. And that's a lot, actually, because normally it's probably 10 minutes, but I feel like they got to have extra time together. But I'm still like, it's way too romantic for me, and I don't buy it. I don't fucking buy it. I would appreciate if
someone would edit a version where she, every single scene with Dale, except for put the boop, 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 boop music, like the creep kind of music when they do, like where they make you feel like someone's being being weird. and so, like, I would like them to edit every scene with that to see if I feel differently about the situation.
It'll totally impact it. I totally believe that. Oh my gosh, we should do it.
I need a recording of that music so that every single time Dale comes on, I'll just put captions on and the music.
I need somebody out there who is listening. Nobody who's really good at audio editing is listening. They got better things to do than listen to my podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe if your husband or wife is an audio editor, you might need to reach out for us.
Just beg them to please edit out Dale's scenes with the cheesy, corny, romantic music and just put on the awkward music so we could see how genuine it seems at that point. But yeah, no, I just think it's a little bit weird that they are so, so into each other. Danielle would like to say a word. She just raised her hand.
I have a question. So you guys on your seasons, when you were on, you never saw a connection like that between that quickly between anybody.
Danielle, I was delusional on my season. I thought it was me like for the majority of the first half.
Maybe this is a Katie question.
It is. She was way more get down, TC. She was way more observant than I was, and she was way more in tune. I was over there in my own world thinking I was running the place, and little did I know they were kicking me out the door. Colton's like, get her out of here. I'm scared of her.
I don't know. Our season was different. It didn't happen right away. It couldn't.
It wasn't right away, but you did notice it with Cassie. I remember you telling me that, and I was like, really? Cassie? I was like, I'm pretty sure she's going home this week. Oh, no, I'm going home this week.
I said, yeah, there's something going down with Cassie. It was something, at the time. So, anyway.
It wasn't that fast. Like, it wasn't as fast as
I don't know. That was our only experience. Like, there's been so many other seasons. Who knows who felt things faster than another. I bet everyone from every different season probably has it either didn't happen right away, it was like 4 weeks in, or it was like the one right away. Mm-hmm. Maybe some other people have different stories. We'd have to ask from different seasons. I would like those answers, guys.
Well, but, and also I feel like the Bachelorettes, it's usually they know who it is night one anyway, and they just like go along with the season the whole time, but they always definitely have their one. And that's why the first impression rose always is the final one at the end of it.
Yeah. I wonder psychologically what that means too. But Sorry, what?
It means that women are just intuitive and we're wonderful.
Yeah, honestly. Okay, so continuing on this date. Wow.
Okay, so... oh my gosh.
So Dale said I'm here differently. And yes. Then I said, oh, I have a note. Are we not going to talk about where the hell Dale got that puppy potion or puppy for perfume?
Oh, I have that too. I have that written on here. I thought it was cute that he like thought about it, like, you know, cause it was a gift for her. So it was kind of like an act of service, you know? But there was something else like before that Claire had said that I thought was really sad. And I think that as a society, it should raise alarms to all of us. And it's that, so these guys are talking to her and they're saying nice things because they're talking about love languages. They're talking about words of affirmation. And she's hearing all these things from these men. And she said that she's never heard such kind words from men. And I'm like, that's so sad. These are men who barely know her. They've barely talked to her. They probably have, most of them gotten maybe 5 minutes or less with her. And those are the most kind words she's ever heard from men that are, you know, she's been dating her whole life. And that's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so these guys are doing this because they know that they're on a show and they're trying to win a show and it's a competition. And it's like, in a way to me, that just seemed like fake and disgusting. But I also was like, why aren't guys like nicer us? Why do we wait until we're on a, you know, someone like Claire who knows her worth and she demands it, and I love that about her. She's waiting like till she's on a show, and now on a show these guys are saying all these nice things. They can't just say nice things like this every day. They're saying them to her because they're trying to like compete in a show. Mm-hmm. And it takes that for them to finally tell women how much we are worth and like make us feel good.
Yeah, in one sense I think it seems like, damn, it might be a little messed up in a sense. And in another sense, I think that's what makes some of these guys, some, and I can't claim for all, but I think that's what makes some of these guys like more open afterwards, because they are actually pushing themselves. It's almost like it's like a mini boot camp for some, like depending on your experience. I know we've all had plenty different experiences, but I really do believe that for some people, especially when they're there for like a short period of time, is like where you don't really have the opportunity to catch feelings as much, but you have the opportunity to practice dating as hard as you can. Like, and when I say as hard as you can, like practice dating with 100% full effort towards thinking it's probably going to work, as opposed to nowadays people are going into dating like, man, I don't know. It's probably not going to work. Mm-hmm. That's what you're typically, I guess, hopefully not thinking. Maybe you're being more positive, but most likely it could not work. And I feel like people go into this show trying so hard for it to work that it gives it that extra effort, and you have to literally practice being a good dater.
Yeah.
Especially that don't typically open up. I mean, that's a push.
Yeah. And maybe some guys too, who maybe will fold themselves, and they get that, they do put all that effort in, and then they get like rejected, and then they're like, well, I probably should try to put in more effort in like other relationships, like moving forward in my life, because clearly I came off not in the right way with the right intentions, and I'm not used to being rejected because I'm a player. I mean, guys can be player. I swear, any guy can be a player if they just have like the right, the player attitude. It's like, you're not even cute and somehow you're breaking my heart. What's happening? You know what I mean? But you're like getting that little bit of rejection.
That should be a song.
Is this my career? So anyway, I'm probably not using like all the best of verbiage right now. I just feel like I'm not making a lot of sense, but I wanted to talk about the physical touch aspect and see what you thought, because I mean, these motherfuckers are horny. Claire included. Claire is the number
Claire
one horny.
Included. Bite my lip, Claire. That Claire is a lip biter.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I was getting hot watching it. I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody's touching each other. What's going on here?
I mean,
half
these people haven't had one damn hug, and now you're going to make them all physical touch blindfolded? You're doing them dirty, Chris Harrison.
I'm like, what are y'all doing? But it was so awesome.
It was
like,
amazing.
I really liked it, but it was funny because I like how Claire didn't even hold back, because, you know, it's 2020. We're embracing that sexuality. Hannah did it with fucking in the windmill. Now Claire said, well, I ain't holding back. She said, somebody else already fucked in a windmill. I can do whatever I want now.
Yeah, Claire's going for it.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And I think it's like continuing the trend of women being able to be comfortable with their sexuality. And that, like, it's not just the guys who get to talk about it. The girls can now too. And
yeah,
own that shit. And then there was like quality time.
Wait. We're still on physical touch, right? Like,
oh yeah, there's.
Do you remember some of the people that went before Dale?
Yes, Riley kissing her hands and her arms.
I remember that as well. I mean, that's one of the only ones I do remember for some reason.
That's one that I took note of. And then there was the fact that Dale posted today on his Instagram the photo of him and Claire during that segment. Mm. And it's just their genitals touching. They're like touching each other like up top, but like their torsos aren't touching. It's like just genitals. And I don't like that I'm saying genitals, but crotch seemed like it was even worse than genitals. Please look it up.
Straight to Dale's Instagram. Right now.
I remember watching it. I was like, oh my gosh, what? Oh, just hump. Let's have sex right now. Let's turn into a porno. I'm so sorry.
Getting closer. These guys in the back, they don't want to be there.
They were upset.
They don't want to be watching this.
They were definitely upset.
And that is, let me confirm him, Jordan C behind, and then Zach C to the back left. And then who is that? I don't know. Oh, Ivan. That's Ivan. Cool.
We love Ivan. I think he's so
cute. All right. Well,
so yeah,
it's very clear who has the most physical chemistry. It's very clear. I mean, all the way, let's just get the whole Dale thing over with, right? Like, all the way down to when she meets him at the bench. Or wait, you were going to go down to.
I just have so many things to talk about. But we're currently on the path of, yes, her and Dale are very obsessed with each other, and it all just seems sus. Like, they must have done something whenever they got released, and filming was postponed, and she already knew her guys. But I mean, I don't know that, but they're making it seem a bit obvious, unless like this is some kind of miracle love story that I've never heard of.
I've heard it.
Like somebody meets
Cinderella. Yeah. No. Not yet. Not Cinderella.
No, I've heard of people meeting, but I just think that on a show. Maybe not, though. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know anything for sure. I'm just saying it adds up to what the rumors are. Like, it validates the rumors, but also it's like maybe those rumors were there because they did. I don't know. You can make a rumor about anything. Listen, I don't know. I just think that it's sus.
Yeah, and
Orange is sus.
Claire's sus. Claire's sus. Emergency meeting. This is the emergency meeting.
Emergency meeting.
this better be the title of the episode.
Emergency meeting or imposter or no imposter sounds
imposter
so
emergency meeting it's a bachelorette recap.
Yeah, orange is us. I'm always orange.
I'm always red now with double horns. Just so everyone knows,
we're talking about Among Us. It's a game you can download on your phone. You should give it a try.
Okay,
other than that, with the physical touch.
Oh, I don't buy that Claire wasn't just scoping out each of these dudes and all of their LinkedIns. I do buy that Dale may have not reached out to her before, but that this could be slightly premeditated. Who knows the extent to what people are Googling out there. And then also, even if not, sometimes it just happens, I think.
I know we have Danielle here today, and Danielle's told me one time that she knows Dale, and that's pretty much all I know about that. But I wanted to see, Danielle, what do you think about the situation since you do know him?
I think Dale's a really charismatic, amazing human, and I think that that's very easy to see and fall for. We're friends for a bit now, and so I think, you know, the second that, you know, Claire saw him, she felt that, you know, he's a genuine person. He comes across that way, and is that person. And that's always how he's been to me and our friendship. So I trust him and I trust his process. So obviously I'm always going to be Team Dale and, you know, supportive of him, and supportive of his feelings and, you know, what he's doing. So, yeah, I mean, do I know anything for sure? Absolutely not. You know, I don't, but I can say that I trust him and I believe him and I believe the words that he says. So, you know, I don't know.
Oh, so he's just a charming guy. He's just one of the good ones.
He's a good one.
Ah. Wow, I do. I just read Bear's Bear. You guys, that's
Bear is the secret contestant.
You miss your dog?
Yes.
He's the secret contestant on this season.
Bear's also on The Bachelorette. Bear's bio is loves a good bone.
Oh, amazing.
That's part of it. That's part of his Instagram bio. But okay, Dale's bio says something that caught my eye. He says, when asked, Dale is looking for a woman who wants him but doesn't need him, and says that nothing turns him on more than an independent woman with strong convictions. When Dale is feeling passionate, he doesn't like to hold back and is looking for a woman who won't be turned off by his intensity.
I get all of those things except for the intensity. Oh, maybe he means the intensity of his attraction to this person.
Yeah.
Okay. Like how into it is.
Passion.
Cool. That's actually interesting to know that that's part of his biography.
That is good. That's good info. So open-minded about him, I guess. I mean, I have suspicion, but that's just because the spoilers that I don't read anymore, but the ones that were rumored out there right after her show got like rescheduled to film in Palm Springs. I can't help that to taint my opinion, but I am open-minded to the idea that Dale might just be an amazing guy who is very, very, very charming and is genuine and perfect and amazing and wonderful. And fuck you, Claire. I'm just kidding.
One more Dale did right opportunity. It was after this date. When Yosef starts saying you're crazy to think that to Claire.
Yes.
And Dale was full on angel and like was like, I am here. I don't care if there's 9-10 other people here. I will get up for you. He gave his spiel and the other guy was like, well, you're crazy to think that anyway.
Oh yeah. Yosef says
crazy.
Because what had happened was Claire came in at the cocktail party after the date and it was so this was the guys and she like went up and she was like, nobody wants to talk to me, nobody's gonna jump up. And how do you think about that? Because whenever I saw her doing it at first, I was like, I feel two different ways about it. I'm kind of torn because one, I understand that yes, they should be jumping up to talk to you, but two, I also understand that on this show and this pressure and these cameras and uncomfortable and like I get really socially anxious and I feel awkward. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know if I'm going to ruin, like what if I get up and I say, hey, I want to talk to you, and she's like, not yet, or like whatever, then I'm embarrassed, or
I want you guys that are listening to start noticing the times when someone gets up to grab her and they get awkwardly shut down from one thing or another, whether it be a toast, Chris Harrison, the lead, or all of a sudden you see someone start walking up and they all of a sudden start walking back, probably because someone told them to. Like, there's a lot of times, and this actually happened later on in the episode, like some guy was like, hey, can I, and she was like, no, I'm gonna do this like toast first. It's because when you watch this show, it seems like, and whenever I've seen it now, like it seems like you're gonna let the lead come in and do their thing, and you're gonna wait, either someone has given the cue to pull first, or you are looking to producers to probably tell you something.
You're scared because like you're trying not to step on any toes. You're also nervous. There's a bunch of cameras and you know, how are you supposed to know whether or not the lead wants to talk to you? If there's other plans, if she's doing a B-roll shot, you know, what if Claire was like coming in doing a B-roll, or what if they're like, okay, take it from the top, do it again, Claire, you know, redo the speech, like whatever they need for the TV. So of course they were like sitting there, but I also, like,
it's really, really real. There just are TV aspects that need to get taken care of that can make people that are, especially this is week one, people are confused.
They're confused, like, they're nervous, they don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah, they don't want to mess up. There's some confusion. So I think it was,
I don't think it was malicious.
Yeah, I don't think it was either. I think it was a little harsh, especially because I know Claire knows, which I like Claire a lot, but I know she knows this setup, the cameras, like knows how long production takes to do things, but
yeah, but then also what about like
But she
maybe
she had
she
to
wants
have a reason
somebody
for doing
who just
it.
Defies all of that anyway. But I don't think that like they if it's somebody she likes that defied it, they let it happen.
But if someone
if she
doesn't,
someone she didn't like, they'd be like, sit down.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And usually the person that they like, they already feel secure enough. They don't feel like they need to be like jumping up into the lead, like because they feel like they're naturally doing it. So yeah. I feel like Dale, he was not going to be too disrespectful. I mean, he's obviously really like just having a huge presence in the beginning of that date. He can grab her for a minute, but maybe his strategy, maybe some of these guys go in with a strategy. There's like 15 of you, whatever. You don't want to be the first one. She's going to forget. Hopefully not, but she's more likely to.
Strategy was to be the first every time so I could get out of the way so I could sit at the table and eat and drink.
My strategy was to be like number two. But like some guys, especially on first date, the first date, you don't know that some of you aren't going to be able to talk to her.
Yeah.
You don't know that yet.
And so also like, there's people, which I feel like Dale might be this kind of person, not to speak on his behalf, but like I feel like he's one of those guys who's like, I know how much she likes me, I know I've gotten more time with her than most of these guys. Yep, mm-hmm. So I'm gonna respect them and let them talk to her, and like I will talk to her because I know that our connection is so strong. Like I'm not necessarily that worried about it, whereas like it's gonna really distress a lot of these guys if they don't get to talk to her, and then they could come after me for this.
Yeah. And you might think like, okay, if I'm first or second, I might have less time because everyone's trying to speed through the first few. Like, where can I get that sweet spot? It was always like third and fourth spaces that got the sweet spot of having enough time and not being rushed out and not also being sitting there thinking like, when is it my turn? When is it my turn? Because we're probably going to wrap it up and I might not even get to go. So there's like the first person's typically, I feel like, decided. And then between second and fourth, it's like that's easy peasy. And then after fourth, it starts being like, who's gonna chat? Like, depending on how many people are there.
Exactly. And like, you can, it's so embarrassing too. Wait, because it's in the other person's hands at that point too. So if like a producer's like, okay, like, yeah, go ahead, you can go now. Like, you can go interrupt their conversation and grab them and like ask to talk to them. But you get up to that point and you're like, hey, can I talk to them? And then that person that they're talking with is like, actually, no, I'm not done yet. And then it's like,
oh, that never happened to me.
So how much longer? That happened with me and Courtney.
Oh, God.
And she got mad at me for it. And I was like, dude, she said it to me. I didn't say it. And anytime someone came up to me, I was like, oh, go ahead. Like, you can take him. I'm fine. But I went up to her one time and she said that. And I understand, like, she just wanted more time with him and stuff. But then it was like, now I'm back in this, like, okay, now I'm pacing around waiting. Like, am I going to get time to talk to him tonight? And then I'm like, when can I go again? Like, how long did she say? What am I doing? I want to make sure that I get a chance to talk to the lead. You know, because I need to like establish where we are. I need to at least like I have a whole thing planned that I want to like do with him or whatever. And so it's just all to like create drama and whatnot. But so I feel like it throws everyone for a loop whenever that person is like, no, actually, we're not ready yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you're like, what, do I go all the way freaking back now and wait for my second cue?
I feel like production like gets on their little heads. That's like, mayday, mayday, mayday. We've got a girl who is not willing to let go of the lead right now, and we are going to run with it. Bring in the G6s. I only said G6 because that was the only aircraft I could have thought of.
Wow.
Because that song.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, it makes for great television, and it does. It's hard for these people to know whether or not it's okay for them to go ahead and talk to her because they're nervous. They just got here. It's been a week, like you said, Katie, and they also don't want to come across too aggressive because then it can create drama for them. And I know a lot of people try to avoid all the drama. So there came a point where Yosef was talking about how he thought that Claire was hot-headed and immature with how she reacted tonight, getting upset about the guys not jumping up to talk to her. I mean, I think that there's some validity to his feelings about that because of like what we just said, but also like what he said was hot-headed and immature, and she's there because she's passionate about love. She doesn't have control over the production of the show. She's there, and I believe her when she says she's there for love. Mm-hmm. She seems like she knows what she wants. And I think that guys like Yosef are probably there for being on TV. So that's why he would say something like that, because somebody that I think is ready to be my partner and like somebody I would want to be with would never say stuff like that.
I think a guy like Yosef is thinking that it is ready for love, but not that kind. Like,
he's ready for someone to love
him.
He's not ready to love someone.
Yeah, he's ready to not maybe love, but like, I'm not saying Yosef's there just to like F around, because he clearly is making a point. He's not effing around. This guy's like, I'm not participating in this. She's acting like this. He's thinking it's going to be like different than what it is right now.
He's just immature for that though, because it's like at this point now, you know what this show is.
He's closed-minded about it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And you should be at her like grace at this point, showing her why you're the right man for her, not criticizing her behavior because it's not what lines up with what you want, and not calling her hot-headed and immature. Like, you can like have that conversation.
You can have that opinion, but then just see yourself out of it.
And not being in your ITM and being like, I think she was hot-headed and immature tonight, blah, blah. Like, if my partner, like, or future partner or potential said that about me behind my back, that didn't even say that to me.
But it's interesting.
I'd be like, you're going to do that in real life. You're going to do that to me in real life.
It's interesting because he says that, but then we'll utilize the daughter, or the son, because he's a child, right? Yosef is the one with the child. And then he'll utilize that as kind of like, well, but it's because I want to show my child how to act correctly or how to be.
Yeah. So he just has a different way of how he wants life to look like. And it clearly doesn't align with how Claire wants her life to look like. Not judging either one of whatever the chosen lives that they have. But like,
I believe he's there to be on TV.
I feel like he's just passing so much judgment, in the sense that like, maybe if he is just there to be on TV, the types of relationships he gets in are just not that with Claire. They're not.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how he actually thinks, for real.
Yeah, I think he's an idiot. Like, I don't care about him. I think he's the villain. I think that's the only reason he's there. He can prove me otherwise. But until then, I've only seen red flags from him. Speaking of red flags,
me too.
Claire goes on the 101 with this guy, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And they do this thing where Claire says something along the lines of like, well, they do the writing down the letter to their
younger selves.
Yes. But then before they get into that, it was about Claire said, like, let's write down things that people have said about us, that we believed about us, that really hurt us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote down all the things that they said. It's hilarious. And not hilarious. It's just, you'll just see. Okay. So he's all scared about writing these things down. And so he's all nervous about the whole thing. And like, really, you can tell he's hurt, actually. He's been through some things. But these things that he's being described as, they all go in the same category. And anyway, so first thing, Jason says, manipulative. That's what people have said about him, that he's manipulative. Claire says, needy. That's what people have said about her, that she's needy. Jason says, selfish. Claire says, hard to love. Jason says, can't love. Claire says, too picky. Jason says, insecure. Claire says that I'm a bitch. Jason says that I'm cold and mean. After the statement, you can see Claire in the scene and she's like biting her lip. Like, I feel like it was a yikes face, but the way she ended the whole thing, like, she seemed like very appreciative that he was so vulnerable and like she liked him. But for me, that was like my face at that moment. I was like, you just said that people have accused you of being manipulative, selfish, you can't love, you're insecure, you're cold and mean, and that's just red flags for me.
Yeah, that's why he was having a hard time telling her that.
I know, because he probably is those things, or at least he has been to people in his past.
Yeah, he definitely has been to people
change.
In his past.
I believe in people changing, but yeah, if you're you're Claire right now, you're the Bachelorette, you have all these like people that you're trying to find love with. It's hard to find love with somebody who is still so emotional about those things, because it sounds like he's still working on them.
I also get the hint that Claire's a little bit of a fixer, in the sense that she has a lot of nurturing vibes. Like, she gives off like nurture, but also when she gets in a relationship, she clearly gives it her absolute all. And I feel as though like someone giving it their all, it's different when you have like the emotional intelligence to be able to help someone dissect their feelings out. So like that guy in particular, I feel like in order to not be the manipulative guy that he has been being, I think he needs someone who understands why he does the things the way he does or why he acts certain ways in order to like deter that behavior or like help him see it differently than like combating him with names, because as many names as he's getting, it might not be able to help him change his behavior. So he needs someone that like trusts him, also maybe needs therapy, but like, which I think everyone does, but like at the same time, like I feel like the relationship he needs is maybe not just someone like nurturing, and Claire did it perfectly by saying like, thank you so much for sharing with me, because then he felt like I can maybe tell her more things. Like,
yeah.
Guys that are feel,
I think she handled
I feel like
it
all people
way.
That feel like they can't express themselves end up like lashing out in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. But I agree with you there. But I think that at this point, so we're watching the show where Claire's looking for her husband. She's done. Like, this is her. She wants her husband.
Yeah, you don't
want
to be saying those things.
He's not in the place where he is ready to be a husband.
She can't really. I don't believe she should spend her time now training this guy to open up.
Exactly. But she responded so much early, though.
She did respond.
I really appreciated her, because I would have been like, fuck off. I'm sorry. Like, or I wouldn't have said fuck off. I would have been like, I understand. I can relate to you. But it's, I can't be with you because I am trying to grow. I mean, I'm not ready for marriage, but like I'm trying to grow away from that. Like I felt those things, like I felt these ways, but I think you need to work on yourself. And that is the one I hate when people say that, like I need to work on myself, or like, you know, we need to work on ourselves. But I feel like in this moment, it's like you need to find who you are and you need to heal from these things before you can be there for me. And it's selfish and it sounds mean, but it's like at that point, it's going to help him more in the end.
No. But here's the thing. What if I mean, it's probably actually not that deep, but what if Claire is so brilliant, and I wouldn't put it past her to, she already knows Dale's at the top, right? She probably has like a top three in her mind. I don't think that this guy could be in her top five, but I don't think he's her number one. Obviously we know Dale's number one. This guy might have just like hit a nerve or a chord on her that she can relate with, and she knows that with this show, and no matter what experience you have with this show, whether you're a night oneer or like someone who goes down the road, or someone who gets their heart broken, or someone who gets made fun of from the show or gets bullied, or someone who is a fan favorite, maybe you have a downfall, maybe you come back up, who knows? There's so many different aspects to the people that come out of this show. Every single person, no matter which character you ended up as, has a pretty drastic change of like their views on certain things, or like just some perspective. They just get a huge perspective shift, and maybe she thinks he needs it, and maybe she thinks that him hanging around might be good for him, because she, at the end of the day, there's still like so many dudes left. If he's like nice and entertaining and she thinks he can grow from it, maybe she's just being like kind of low-key smart. I'm not sure. Maybe it's not that deep, but that would be cool. That would be cool to think that Claire's doing this guy a favor.
Well, I think she did him I think she did him a favor by like showing all that grace, because like you're saying, like it could shut somebody down to be like what I would do is like, I think you need to work on yourself. That could shut them down, and then maybe they would never change, or they would always continue to
or
think
right
those
when
things
he opens
about
up,
themselves.
You break it off. Like, what is that going to teach someone?
Not that
you should. Because not to say, guys out there, that when someone opens up to you, stick around. I'm just saying, for this purpose of it being a show and you having this all going on, like that might have helped him.
Yeah,
actually.
I love how understanding she was, and I love how she talked to him about that. Like it did. I was very impressed. And he's been through some struggles in his life that he had mentioned. He didn't talk about what they were, but I think that he's brave for speaking out about that. I know, because, you know, we can all relate with that. I just love that Claire's a strong ass woman. She knows what she wants. She's able to communicate effectively, and she did show that grace to somebody who said that they had been called not nice things. I think that was really sweet of her, like you were saying, of her to be forgiving and understanding instead of judgmental. I like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that she was attracted to his vulnerability? Do you think that vulnerability is attractive, And like, are you scared to acknowledge like your demons? Like, how do you handle that whenever you're on a date, Katie?
I think vulnerability is very attractive. However, there's like some things in there that happen sometimes where people haven't unpacked traumas on their own or like with a professional. And I feel like sometimes there's vulnerability, and then there is sometimes a little far for it. Just depends also on the person. It depends on your relationship. It depends on a lot of different things, but the only time where I feel like, oh no, like I don't know what to do is if someone's being so vulnerable, like a lot of trauma starts coming out that I feel like needs to be addressed with, yeah, it can be addressed in this conversation, but like also elsewhere. Cause then it's like, I don't know, sometimes you can get, that gets uncomfortable, but like also sometimes it's good to, and people push through it, but it's becoming much more normalized to be vulnerable, which I really love because it's helping everyone out there like deal with their emotions in so many different ways.
Yeah. And that's kind of like a,
just hold everything in.
Yeah. And it's a hard place to be because like what you're saying is that I want you to, which is how I feel too. Like, I want you to open up and tell me about these things, but how do I tell you that I think you need to go talk to somebody without me like insulting you by saying, I think you should talk to a therapist, you know? Like, that's how I feel. I'm always like, well, I can do what I can. I can listen, but I can't help because I don't know how to help because I'm a mess too, you know?
Yeah, my thing is just like, I feel like that, well, and this is with this show, you're going to be more vulnerable than it. That's part of pushing yourself. But there's also a line where you don't have to be vulnerable until you feel like it line. The lines are hard. When you're on this show, I think it's a lot of just gray area and sometimes jump right a little bit too soon. Or sometimes you don't even take the leap and you suffer then. So it's just a bunch of gray.
How comfortable are you? How long does it take for you to share your demons with somebody you're interested in?
Because well, don't we all get me started on the We're Not Really Strangers game now, Demi.
I still want to play it with you.
I've been not sharing demons, but...
Well, I mean, demons is a dramatic word, yeah, but it's basically just, you know, the negative thoughts in your head.
It takes me almost no time to be more vulnerable than the average, I would say. Like, I am very much an open book to people, but it does take me a lot of time to a long period of time to open up slowly, especially in like a romantic relationship. It takes me quite a while to say my quote unquote demons.
Are you ashamed of them?
No, I'm not. I just want to make sure that this person is someone that is going to be like definitely serious, like more serious, or like take me seriously. To where I know that I already have a feeling that this person's not really going to let me down in any way until that's when I would usually, I guess, share, or just when I felt like the timing was appropriate. It's really like timing is also different with any person.
Yeah.
Never know.
It definitely is. So does like what holds you back from sharing like personal information like that? Is it like a it's not like a shame of what you've been through. Is it just like I don't know if I can trust you with this much vulnerability for
me?
Yeah,
it's just caution. It's caution, a little bit of a shield, like a protecting myself because it got to a certain extent. I've definitely gotten better about sharing, but I also have a decent you wouldn't think, but I have a pretty good intuition on like who I can actually really share that kind of stuff with, I feel. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I like the formula so far with it.
Yeah, yeah. You figure it out along the way.
You figure it out along the way.
You get burned sometimes from
word vomit where I was like, ooh, like you have the, some people have them. Some people never have them, which will be beyond my being because I've had them way too many times to count. Just like little times where you're like, oh shit, I just word vomited. But
I feel like I just get excited sometimes and then I see something and I'm like, oh wait, you all probably think I'm fucking crazy.
which that's when I read that ego is the enemy and stillness is the key. It helped me so much. Just like there's so much stillness, and when you like try to practice being still when other people are being vulnerable, it's really cool.
I hope, like, I'm trying to get there, man. I'm still struggling. I'm a fucking mess, but no, I want to be there.
You're great, Demi. You're amazing.
So the second group date, they do the dodgeball thing, and this is one I feel a particular way about, but I think it's because of the fact that it involved physical acts, and, you know, like, on our group date, my demise, it was, I had to fight in Vietnam, and I had to fight Katie, and it was, like, this physical competition, and I was like, yeah, damn it, like, I cannot compete physically, and I was so upset. I was, like, freaking out. I was so sad, and it was, I was so mad. I was like, why would they make us fight us? I talked about it for months and months after. I was like, how dare they make us?
She was very salty for months.
I was, but I was like, why should I have to be fighting for somebody physically if I just am, like, trying to, quote unquote, get engaged to them and marry them and all this stuff? So in this dodgeball day, not only are they having to
thank God we can make this thing a fight. Well, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Katie said, this is my time to shine. Katie said, this is my time.
I really did feel it. I'm like, I don't have to speak. I can just do the, all right, let's do this.
And she's been, like, boxing and stuff, like, all of these things. I mean, I knew that it was going to be bad, but I didn't think she was going to be that good at beating my ass. I was like, Katie, no. But anyway, I threw a huge fit. I was a terrible sport about it as well, but I was just really thrown for a loop because I can only fight with my mouth. I think that maybe if somebody was trying to murder me, I could try my best, but... Okay, I don't know why I went there. But so this dodgeball date, not only was it like, okay, now I love a good game of dodgeball. Oh, a strip dodgeball, though?
I get really intense with dodgeball. What kind of person are you in dodgeball? Are you the type of person that's trying to catch the ball? Are you the person running away? Or are you the person throwing them at the end? At the very end, who are you? Are you also the person
at the very end? I'm not even in the game anymore because I've dropped so many balls. I've already tried to catch. Every time someone throws one, I'm always like, yeah, I got it. And then I don't catch it. Or I do catch it. I have pretty good hands.
Oh, but so you go for the catch.
I play the field, man. I do it all. Hello, I'm bye.
Amazing.
No, but I love dodgeball. But also, those dodgeballs looked a lot harder than the dodgeballs I'm used to. And then they had to strip, and it's like, okay, I'm all about the stripping thing, like body positivity. But also, are we going to have girls out there with their butts out? Like, how the double standard that would have been?
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I thought about with the whole thing. These guys are out there playing dodgeball, just trying to impress Claire. They're having to strip. What if some of those guys are the best damn husband you could have ever met? And maybe he had one little slight insecurity, and it was his body. And maybe he had a great body, but he was insecure about it. And now he's got to take off his shirt.
Now he's acting different.
Yeah, now he's in a jock strap, throwing dodgeballs at people, getting hit with them.
This is his worst nightmare come true.
His worst nightmare. And it's like, oh, I'm not even going to talk to you because you guys are all losers. You guys lost the competition. Y'all can go back to the house. I'm taking these winners over here, fully clothed. So you just see all these little butts running out of the competition that just lost. And they're all walking in shame. And everyone's talking about how shameful it is that they're doing this. And I'm just cringing. And I'm like, oh, these
poor
guys. Didn't
someone take off the whole thing?
There was...
Didn't he just let his...
They called them goodies.
You're not doing that unless
they're goodies.
You're hung,
they're
right?
They're man goodies.
Couple of them did it.
Unless you're a hong. That's what I thought. I said, take the black box off. I need to see what's going on down there because they took that off for a reason.
He said, this ain't no competition, and then just took
he
it
said,
off.
For the record, I might have lost the dodgeball game, but.
And then someone
I won. The best line is
if you watch it with closed captions, the best line is right after that guy takes off his complete underwear. I guess his dick? I guess his dick is out. But, like, there's someone else goes, I'm sorry, I love you, but I can't do it. And she's like, that's okay. I'm pretty sure. Okay, on closed captions.
She said, that's okay?
That's how it looks anyway. It's like, I love you, but I can't do it.
Talking like, about okay. Do what?
Like, take off all of my...
Oh.
Like, I'm not going to...
Oh,
my
no.
Dick out.
Oh, no. It's all about how you work it, baby. Whoever that was.
He said, I'm sorry, I can't do it.
But see, that's like so sad. Like, because
no, but he probably, maybe he, it, that doesn't mean,
I mean, he could be packing. Talking. What are we gonna do? Sit there and judge? What if he's a grower, not a shower? And yeah. Now he's like, well, damn, that guy next to me has this massive fucking soft dick. And what am I gonna do? What I'm gonna sit out here and be like, it's just cold. I swear to God. Wait, hold on. Like, it looks bigger when it's hard. Am I gonna get hard in front of everyone right now? Like, no.
No, we just got, it just got too weird for that guy. So,
but also, why are we putting them in little jock straps? That would be like putting us in
little G-strings.
No, but not because you can't really tell a vagina with a G-string. It's more about titties. Like, well, what are you gonna do?
Put nipple pasties? People know what my boobs are like, flat.
It would be like putting nipple pasties on boobies. Everyone, all right, here's the pasties on your nipples. So now everyone can just see what your boobs look like with no support, no nothing. We're all just hanging there, tits out.
I don't remember last season, but
me coming out would look like a teen movie.
I don't remember last season, but
Katie, all you have to do is just show that ass, and it'd be game over for all of us.
Didn't they have the lingerie, the girls in the lingerie last season?
Yes, it was Extreme Pillow Fight Club. But I will say that it was Demi, my Extreme Pillow Fight Club.
Demi was hurt.
You think I had any control over their outfits or anything? No, I showed up.
No, but I'm just saying, was that, would you say that's in comparison or no? I don't know.
I didn't like the fighting. No, I didn't like them fighting at all. And I watched it and it got really brutal. And it scared me at point. At times I was like, this is like reminded me, I had like PTSD of the Vietnam fight date. I mean, I guess I should have spoken up more about it, but it's out of my control. It's not like they're not going to change anything. But yeah, no, some girls like took it really seriously. Like that Sydney girl, she was like really angry about the whole thing. They were all really hurting each other. And it was scary.
Okay.
And also not fair because I'm sorry, I didn't like sign up for this. I thought I was signing up to fall in love, quote unquote, if that's what we're going to go off of. But I guess that's the price we pay for wanting to be on TV.
Can I go back to saying something about the one-on-one date?
Yeah.
I wrote a lot of notes on him and I totally forgot I wrote some of these notes, but one of them said, Jason reminds me of Nick. At the very end, like the way he was talking, when they were standing up and he had his arm over her shoulder, the way that he was talking to her and blinking and talking, blinking, the way that he was existing and breathing reminded me of Nick. Bye, Al. He also said, it was so much easier to talk to you, Claire, because you listened. And I said, do we realize how many men need this? It's insane. A listener.
Yes, but
not to be married to. Like, they just need someone.
Why did I just get this? I mean, no, I don't know what he's been through, but I feel like it's like we've been listening to men. If women are calling him manipulative,
oh yeah, no, and I'm all just these saying, things,
like he probably has done some terrible.
There's definitely
things.
Red flags, but okay. Sorry, back to the dodgeball date.
Bounce around.
I did write this down. I feel like I'm on an episode of Family Feud when they come out in the red and the blue because they clap as they walk into the locker room, like before they're even playing. It looks like when everyone says good answer, and claps for themselves. I said, I feel like they should play. And then Claire goes, I feel like we should play strip dodgeball. And they all look around like they don't want to do it. And then they clap again to convince themselves it's a good idea or good answer. Like when your answer is just absolute shit, but you clap and say good answer anyway. That's what they were doing after Claire said, let's play strip dodgeball. They were on Family Feud saying, good answer, Claire. Good answer. We're going to do it. Was it good for the team?
What you talking about now? Yeah, I got it with the Family Feud reference. Now I see it. I was like, what do you mean? Who does that? And I was like, wait, no, I see you. Yeah.
Yeah, good answer. When like Aunt Susan just gave the most shit answer.
And everyone's like, you stupid son of a bitch.
You know what? Good answer.
Claire's can't like, discourage her.
Claire's like, we're playing strip dodgeball. They're in their red and their blue outfits. And they're like, good answer. We'll do it.
It's crazy. Everyone just because of sheep in that environment. We just all become sheep. I'm like, oh, I have to fight somebody with boxing gloves and I've never fought anyone in my life. Good answer. All right. You're right. Yeah. Bits, help.
And they're even in the little red and blue outfits just like Family Feud.
Oh my God. Every time they
make that. It's literally an episode of Family Feud.
That is really funny and that's so true. And I've never pictured that visual before.
I love that also that blue ball is lost because blue balls, they set themselves up to lose with that name. Blue balls. Oh, it never finishes. I don't know why.
You know what? Right
get
there.
To the finish line with the name blue balls.
set themselves up for failure with blue balls. Also, I need to know if blue balls are real. I don't think they are.
Oh, maybe.
I've definitely had sex with guys and they didn't come and they were not hunched over in pain. But I was over it. I came, so I was done.
I'm glad we got to that point. I wrote Kenny is chiseled. Holy shit.
Amazing.
I said, not to talk about bodies, but body.
I have like so many random. I have Damar, oh, man said, goodies.
At one point I wrote, Easy said, you're making me giddy. It's weird. Claire said, no, it would be weird if you weren't. I put everyone. Well, not necessarily, Claire.
Listen, Claire is horny. Claire said, put these men in jock straps. I have been quarantined for too long. And I feel that. I love. Never mind. I totally understand being horny, and I like that she owns it and she's not scared to show it, and she's also well spoken and
where are we on?
Tasteful. To the point where the red team wins and they are going to the cocktail party.
Got it.
So weird things are happening. We've got Easy rubbing her feet down, which, very sweet. My porky toes, nobody's touching those bad boys. I'm wearing socks if you're giving me a foot rub. I don't want you to judge my little chubby toes.
Okay, so would you think that, do you think that Claire liked the foot rub or no?
I think she enjoys Easy's company. Easy's like fun. He has a good.
He's easy to be around.
Yeah,
that's an easy way to think of it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have an endorsement for him right now?
Yeah.
Is this an ad? No. Honestly, though, I think he's entertaining. I like watching him. I wish that we would have. Oh, he did tell us his real name. I just remember being like,
swiping up. It's Easy.
What did he say that? No, I just was like, why are you pretending like your name? I get mad whenever people pretend like their name is their nickname, but I don't know why. I just do. Like, I had this friend one time and her name was Sarah, S-A-R-A. And then randomly one day, I remember we were friends whenever it was S-A-R-A. One day she starts spelling her name. It was in like eighth grade. And she was like S-A-A-R-A. And she told, and to this day, it's still spelled that way. And I'm like, bitch, that. And she tells everyone that's how it's spelled. And I'm like, you're lying. But at least Easy is not lying about it. He's like, no, that's just what like I go by.
I wonder how many people from my middle school think that I now spell my name with two E's at the end.
Actually, her name is Katie Emo.
I know so many people that tell me that they can't, that's the only way they say my Instagram handle is Katie Emo. I'm like, well, honestly, it's not far from the truth. I am pretty emo.
Honestly, it's cooler. Emo is life. So they're doing that. They're having a good little chat.
Someone says that he's a hermit crab. I don't know who.
Claire says that she feels like she was invisible in high school. And I was wondering, like,
he said, I was never the guy you see today. I was a hermit crab, the guy that we don't see at all.
Okay, first of all, I don't think you call it a hermit crab. I think you just say hermit.
No, you don't call it hermit crab. You just say hermit, but he said hermit crab.
I know. So why did he say that? Was he being funny or did he?
No, I think he just.
That's precious. Well, guess what? Welcome to fucking Bikini Bottom in this house because this hermit crab is never leaving her apartment.
I like being a hermit.
Me too. I love it.
So now we like that guy.
I have no idea who it was.
Me neither, because he's the hermit.
Oh, and then Blake. We love him. We stan. He's the one who's like doing pickups for hours every day and they're not including any of his footage.
Right after this, it goes all the winners from Dodgeball shunning Blake Moynes. I think his last name's Moynes. Blake Moynes, so goes up and he's very bold and he's like, you know what? At this point, I really do like, I'm going to tell it, but I really do like what ends up happening because Claire keeps just asking for bold, bold, bold. A guy that's going to step in, is going to do the thing. She gave this guy an affirmation, Blake Moynes, originally on the first episode in regards to the fact that he was one of the only, he was the only guy that reached out to her, went against the rules to reach out to her during the quarantine. So this is on brand for Blake to be going off book and against the rules because she has given him the validation to do so. So when his team loses and he still wants time, he decides that he's going to take time because he has already been validated multiple times.
Yeah, she validated, he can break the rules. Yeah.
So he did it. The thing that I have two comments on it. First comment is regards to the fact that everyone decided as a group, collective group, that they were going to gang up on this dude. The, all the people from the winning red team were like, Blake, get off of our lawn. And then, and then
they said, didn't he lose today?
Let's go, guys. It's like, let's go, girls.
Wait, that wasn't it. I'm sorry. Just ignore me.
I was going Shania Twain. But.
Oh, no. Let's go, girls. Mm-hmm. All right. I did the wrong sound, but okay.
That's what they did to Blake. But then Blake was just sitting there and then she doesn't kiss him. And I'm like, damn, that's it. He's gone. Actually, that was a plot twist for me that they couldn't have produced because she did it herself. She totally is like, get out of my face. And he's like, that's it for me, y'all. And then she's like, Blake, a rose. Whoa.
But
although it was wild because it seemed wild because she didn't kiss him, it was nice because she set the precedence like there is a time and place to kiss me, even if we have a connection. I'm going to teach you that it wasn't just then. And so she just set boundaries for herself, which is really admirable. She's like, this is one of my boundaries. Like, just because I like you, we're not going to kiss every time.
Yeah, I do like that.
But then reiterated the fact that she likes him breaking the rules.
Yeah. And he got the rose at the rose ceremony cocktail party. But during this, he didn't get the rose.
That was then?
Oh, yes. My gosh. I'm an idiot.
No.
Wait, was there a rose ceremony? That's why.
There was no rose ceremony.
Okay, so that cocktail party. But that is interesting because it set the standard of, yes, this is like expected of me to kiss you right now. But she still didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, just because.
But then she did it later.
No. He tried to kiss her before he got the rose, by the way. He tried to kiss her before he got the rose. He walks away. He's in a dark alley walking away with his head all down. Like, what the hell just happened? I just tried to kiss her. I feel like an idiot. Oh, no. Spiraling out of control. Mm-hmm. And not out of control. Spiraling in his own head. Or so it seems. And so then Claire has her rounds, talks to other people, and then eventually brings him back and is like,
and then they kiss.
Yeah, and then they kissed.
But it was on her terms.
She was like, sorry about that earlier. I love that she addressed it. She's so cute with it. She's like, sorry about that earlier. I wasn't a good time. And it's like, yes, Claire, you can like someone and have feelings for someone and it also not be a good time to kiss someone. You definitely let them know.
Nah, I can't relate to that. Nah.
I feel like, yeah, there can be, well, but he's not to expect to kiss every time now.
Yeah. I can't help myself. But that's not the same for everyone. Like, some other people.
I was about to say that if Dale did that, her reaction would have been that way.
Dale would have Frenched him. She would have ate his butthole.
Oh my God.
But I thought that it was, of course, expected for all these other guys to be really upset because that's what they do every fucking season. Almost some guy gets upset or some girl gets upset that the lead didn't actually like care about who won or who lost in the competition, and they break the rules for the other team that lost, like with Crystal and all of that. You remember Crystal on Ari season? They did all that, and then this happens, and I'm like, are you guys fucking stupid? Like, obviously production like was like, hey, you should go talk to her. Like, even though you lost today, you should go talk to her. Like, it's not his brilliant idea to go talk to her. I'm sure he wanted to. I'm sure he asked to. But then they're like, you know what? That's probably going to make some good TV. Why don't you? Let's do it. Go talk to her. So I'm like, all these guys getting bent out of shape. I'm like, you guys look like idiots. Like, obviously, this is not, it's not like this guy has all this control over the show. Mm-hmm. This guy is on this date now, and he gets to come to the cocktail party because he was allowed to come. So don't be mad at him. I don't know why everyone's been out of shape of like, oh, he lost today and blah blah. Okay, well, obviously
obviously the producers want him to be able to have a moment, so just let it go.
Exactly. So don't make yourself look like an ass. Well, and just accept that that's what it is.
Well, happens but, every single time.
I mean, I probably would have made myself look like an ass if somebody did it, but maybe not. No, I probably wouldn't have cared. Honestly, I mean, I wouldn't have cared. That's but if somebody like fired me up and they were like, "Care," I would have been like, "Okay, well, sure, I'll."
You
care.
Wouldn't have cared because that's what happened to me when you walked by with the robe and I was laughing, I was giggling, and there was other people that were not laughing.
Oh, they were so mad, and I'm like, "Oh, what you think that?"
It's just two types of people in this world.
I literally just put on my robe because I was cold.
Just two.
I was cold, and they were like, "Dimmy, you should put your robe on." I was like, "Yeah, that's a great idea, guys. You're right. I'm freezing," and I always wore that thing, and it was an ugly robe. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, Demi's going to the fantasy closet and she's wearing a robe. And everyone's like, she's taking him to the bathtub. She's naked under there. I was like, no, I was wearing a small dress, you fucking idiots. Like, what do you think this is? You think I'm getting in a bathtub with this man on week 3? I mean, I would, but not if it's being televised. I get on in the bathtub on day 1, but not if it's being televised where my family can see this. And like, obviously, at that point, it would be a pornography, right?
Yeah, we don't want that.
Yeah, so it's like, everybody, like, chill the fuck out. Like, this is all, I don't know. I feel like whenever people get mad about that kind of stuff, I'm like, you're buying into what they're selling you right now.
They're taking the bait. Yeah. So
they're taking the bait.
Absolutely.
They all took it.
So speaking of people taking the bait, Brandon took the bait and she approaches him, which, by the way, lucky you, Brandon, not always does the lead just come straight up to you. Usually you're just like a koi fish out there.
Why did she take him again?
So she said, hey, how are you? What's going on? He goes, I'm not okay. I'm just mad about everything. First of all, when you start off with you're not okay, it doesn't give her the confidence to feel like you're going to be able to cool it down sometimes. So he said, I never thought I would do anything like this before. Well, that's just one of those lines. He said he's put on the spot. Oh, but he's put on the spot and can't answer anything about Claire. He's like,
oh, yeah, she asked him why he wanted to come onto the show for her. And he says, honestly, I don't know anything about you, but you're so beautiful.
And then she's like,
so is there any other reason?
Yeah.
Besides her looks and that she's beautiful. And he has no answer.
He has absolutely no answer. And the fact that he said, as soon as I saw it was you, I knew I had to go. It's like, what differentiated me from any other good looking chick that they could have picked? Nothing. That's what you just told me. It's nothing. Exactly. So any girl that would have come on here that you thought was good looking, it wasn't anything particular about me. That's how Claire feels anyway.
Yeah.
That's what the guy couldn't express, which is, kind of total bullshit because,
I mean, there was no substance.
He just backed himself into a corner. It wasn't that it was bullshit. It's that it maybe shouldn't have been said, because what he didn't realize is that question that follows, which is, what was it about me? What makes me special? Well, he should have had Claire, what makes Claire special, you know, on backup.
Exactly. If you know Claire, Claire has been, now this is like, I don't even know how many shows she's been on in the Bachelor franchise, but like, if there's one person who is here for the right reasons, it's Claire, and she is serious about it. And you don't even know that about her. Like, you only know she's hot. You don't know what she's been through with other guys. You don't have a single thing to back that up. Like, did you do any homework, or you just showed up and you're like, I'm hot and I'm going to sail through this?
Yeah.
That's what he thought. And it was like, well, I'm glad she sent you home.
To play devil's advocate, and I don't think that he was, how he answered it was right at all, but to play devil's advocate, he kind of was like, I don't know you yet. It is just a week, right? So I think the way he communicated it was poor. I don't think it came across how he necessarily intended it to come across. Again, I don't know. But I think the way he said it was, well, I don't know you, right? I don't know anything about you yet, so I don't know what to say. Whereas the correct, for lack of better words, answer would have been, I'm here to pursue you, to get to know you.
Well, that's what he was essentially saying. But it was like they were just not meshing with the question and the answer, because it's almost like he didn't understand the question fully. Like, she was asking, like, what is it about me? He's like, I don't know everything about you. It's like, oh, that's not the question. What do you know about me?
And
it's,
if he can't,
what are you, what about me intrigues you to making you feel that a pull to be here because it was me? Not, what do you know about me so in depth that you can speak on, which is, I feel, the way he was trying to answer, or that's what he thought he was supposed to be answering. Well, and then that was just miscommunication.
That's kind of how I saw it. But I also, your way makes a lot more sense. But I think that if somebody doesn't understand that at that point, then he's supposed to go.
Fuck him.
He's supposed to go. Because it's not going to be the match for Claire. That's the bottom line.
It's just not her match.
They're not on the same page,
I think,
like you're saying.
I respect her a lot for just weeding him out and just being like, hey, listen, let's not waste any time.
Yeah.
You know.
Took it well.
I mean, yeah, thank God. And right after that, she says, Chasen, Jason, Easy, and Dale. Just like that. Well.
And Chasen got the group date rose. Not sure why. Have no idea what happened there.
Chasen, Jason, Easy, and Dale. And those are, in my opinion, going to be the top.
Yeah.
Obviously. Saving grace, she said, my saving grace is that I know what I'm looking for and I know what I want. Well, we've heard that time and time again, and it has not even been a half of a season. So once Claire, it's like that is repetitive. Once Claire finds it, she's going to know.
So who do you think are the top?
That's what we are to understand from that.
Who do you think are the top again?
Chasen, Jason, Easy, and Dale.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Chasen, Easy, and Dale.
Yep.
Get a little jingle going on.
Watch out, Jed.
Tostada.
I said, watch out, Jed. Let's see.
Katie, I sing
your song. Even though Blake got the rose, you don't think he's going to make it.
Well.
He might be.
Oh, no. So she pulled Dale aside immediately after Blake. They go on to have their physical connection again.
Ooh, she brought that blindfold out. She said, I stole one of these.
Yeah. I said,
you better go, Claire.
I was watching it and I said, damn, I should have given her my paddle. Remember Claire when I blindfolded like, Coco?
Let
didn't
me
like
make
it.
Out with Dale already. I've been quarantined for way too long and all I want to do every time I leave Dale is make out with Dale. So just bring him back, okay?
Listen, I'm here for it. I love watching it.
Yeah, she's happy as a clam. They actually do mesh really well together thus far. I haven't seen any red flags between them. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're on the same page.
It's so way too fucking good to be true for me. But I am a cynic. But I am hoping I get proven wrong.
Hopeless romantics that every now and then get super pessimistic about the fact that I'm a hopeless romantic.
I'm too cynical to believe in hopeless romance.
Believing too hard.
I'm like, everyone's out to get me. Nobody wants me to be happy. Nobody is actually happy.
Yeah, they are.
I'm not that dramatic about it. But no, I'm cynical. And I hope that I do get to see them because I just feel like it's going to be Dale. Where's Tayshia? Where's Tayshia coming in? Like, when is she coming?
Yeah.
It's already been 2 weeks. I thought she'd be here by now.
I, for some reason, thought they were going to do like one whole little
season. More episodes?
I think so.
You're kidding me.
Do we think that there's two more episodes? Come on. How many are there usually? 10?
Give me Tayshia or give me death.
No, wait. But I think this might be good because usually The Bachelor is so drawn out. You know, it's just drawn out. I think that they'll be able to have more either A, one-on-one time because people will be maybe dwindled down a bit. Or should get a whole new cast.
Tayshia goes in week 5.
No. I heard that there were guys that they didn't put on Claire's season, but they also had still in quarantine. And I think that they saved them. And those guys are going to go to Tayshia's season. So Tayshia might get a mix of the guys is what I'm thinking. I'm not sure. Either way, it's just a whack season only because like they do have to do it all at the La Quinta in Palm Springs.
These guys are like, Claire, I came here for you and only you and nothing but you. Tayshia. I came in for
Same.
You and only you and nothing but you.
Retweet for Tayshia. They just retweet themselves. Like, at Tayshia.
Yeah, like, oh shit. Everyone, get your minds right.
I just hope JPJ comes back. Can we get some JPJ?
Oh, wait. Someone reminded me of JPJ. Oh, Bennett.
What's up like, with you and Bennett? He's
Bennett
terrible.
Bennett reminded me of JPJ. He does. He has similar qualities.
He does seem like one of those people that I would love to fuck with. Like, I love to fuck with JPJ, you know? I don't always
mess
with them.
They actually do have similar qualities, and I'm pretty sure they're more similar than we think.
So I'm looking at the Meet the Cast, and I was looking at all the guys, and the very first guy is Chris Harrison. I was like, oh, wait, who's that? I'm like sitting here looking. I was like, oh, wait, Chris. Who's Chris? Chris Harrison. I'm such an idiot.
Chris looks...
He looks
like
he's
one of the dudes.
Look at him.
Chris Harrison's one of the dudes. Chris Harrison, you are Benjamin buttoning our ass.
I know. What the fuck, Chris?
Wow.
Amazing.
We're just sitting here admiring your pick.
Yeah, so Yosef is my prediction for the villain, for sure. He's already the villain. There, he's only there because he's villainous.
This guy has the prettiest eyes.
Who?
Brendan. I guess we shouldn't be doing just a whole person recap. I could have done that in the first few episodes.
I know, but like, come on. As if we're going to remember all of them the first night. Like, I still don't know half of their names.
Brendan's looking cute to me. He's like got these freckles.
So many of these people are in California. Yeah. So I predict that, depending on how long this, the pandemic continues, we're going to meet so many of these guys. And I just want you to think back on this moment whenever we meet them.
Okay.
So. That we're just going to see them randomly. They're probably going to be thirst trapping, you know, like just a clout chasing the bad ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, but I just think it's funny. I mean, I am not saying everyone will be like that, but
for the ones
Hannah's season, a lot of them were like that.
They said, "Get out there!" You know, this Kenny guy is really starting to look like Luke Pell to me. On the biopic,
who?
Kenny. He's towards the end, boy band manager. Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. What? A boy band manager?
I know. I put Backstreet Boys on my Twitter.
What else would you possibly think of at that point? Boy band.
Okay.
That was the last good one. Oh, well, One Direction. We're a little bit too old for that, though.
Yeah. Overall, we didn't have a rose ceremony, which is disappointing, but...
Yeah, crap, but either way, it's interesting, and we're getting some good content. We're getting to see a woman who is very strongly opinionated, doesn't put up with shit. She's direct. She's not scared to admit how serious she is about this, which I really like because it is intimidating for me personally, and I assume and know and have heard from a lot of other women in this day and age, we are scared to talk about what we want because it is a fear of losing the person who we are interested in because we might scare them off or we might not like be good enough or like, you know, we are coming on too strong and all these things. So seeing her just be like, nope, this is what I want. You're not here for that. You can't even acknowledge that or you can't meet my standards of what I want. Then I don't want you. I like that she is setting a really good example for women out there everywhere, especially I feel like with like all of us like millennials and we just are too tolerant of behavior that we shouldn't be. And I think that Claire has taken this opportunity to show how we should hold ourselves and what standard we should have. Like do whatever you want, but we're not going to take shit from any dude. She showed me that whenever she had the jacuzzi appointment though. So in Winter Games, she was talking to this guy. I don't remember his name. He was like from Germany, I think, or something. I don't know, he's blonde and European. I'm so sorry if he wasn't from Germany, but he was like, we had an appointment in the jacuzzi because he asked her early on in the day, you want to go to the jacuzzi tonight? And she was like, yeah, sure. And then she like hadn't gotten around to it yet. She was like chit-chatting with everyone. It's kind of like a MTV show where like they're all at the house, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he was like, we had an appointment in the jacuzzi. And she was like, and she went off on him. She destroyed him. It was amazing. Yeah, because he was mad at her and talking down to her because she didn't meet him for his jacuzzi appointment. And she was like, you just like asked me if I wanted to go to jacuzzi tonight earlier. There was no appointment. And it was so funny. So now it's like one of the biggest jokes. Yeah, I loved Winter Games. That show was so fun.
I need to watch that. I didn't do it was entertaining. Justice by not watching
that. Yeah, like that was the first time like we saw her being like or not saw her, but saw... for me, I saw someone who was like, no, I'm not tolerating this. This is ridiculous. A jacuzzi appointment. And like, she just continues, you know, she did it before that even like with Juan Pablo. I didn't watch her on Paradise. I didn't see Claire on Paradise.
I'm pretty sure.
But Claire on Juan Pablo season, destroying him after he was like being, you know, super dick to her. And she was just like, I would never want my children to have a father like you. Mm-hmm. And like just owned that. And I thought that was just really cool that she can say what she means. And she's not worried about whether or not that guy is going to call her again later. You know what I mean? She's just like, nope, it's done for. Because, you know, whenever I get rejected, I'm like, well, I'm going to say something, but I'm not going to completely break off the ties. Because what if I, you know, I'm sure I'm going to want them later because I'm like feeling weak and vulnerable and susceptible to this person or something. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm mad at you, but I don't necessarily want to just be done. And she just, nope, she's done. And it's like, that's how we need to be. We need to stop like making excuses for people. And like, we just all need to, when people are treating us bad, cut them off. Because there's so many more options out there.
100%. Oh, yeah. I feel like
but,
that's the
same. Yeah, I'm enjoying her. I guess we might get two more episodes. Who knows of Claire? Very curious to see how it turns out. We all know she's going to be with Dale. So for next week, Katie, what are your thoughts on that little sneak peek that we got?
We're obviously going to see a bunch of men feeling very threatened about the Dale-Claire connection. And I wonder if there's going to be a fantasy suite week 3. That's what I prepare for.
I would love to see it. Why not?
You know what? That would just be... These are the kind of twists we need. And I felt like it was really hard for me to like watch the show at first. Not this show. I was fine watching Claire's season because I finally feel like a little bit removed. But it was a lot easier to watch it with like no mansion. Like it just seems like a totally different show. Everything about it is different. It's nice and refreshing. It should change up more often. There are traditions, yeah. But like even not being in the mansion, it's still just as beautiful and you still get the concept, but it's a different place. And like
I've seen a lot of people online or maybe people I've known in the past and stuff have like reached out to me and been like, what do you think of Claire? I think she's nuts. She's crazy. She's this and that. And I'm like, I haven't seen one nuts or crazy thing she's done or said. I have nothing but respect for her. I think she's doing a really good job. I think that some people are probably mad about the fact that they think that her and Dale like pre-did something. But either way, I think Claire is sending a really good message with this platform that she has of like knowing what you want, not settling for less than that, even after you go through a hardship. Like she talked about being in an abusive relationship. And she talked about what she learned from that and how she is ready now because she learned so much from that. And it wasn't just, you know, I don't know how, like what level of abuse it was, but because she didn't specify, but she said the worst part was the emotional abuse. Mm-hmm. And she came out of this relationship and that's whenever she got on The Bachelor was because she wanted to escape it. And now she has become this beautiful, beautiful woman. And she's very strong and... Claire has just shown a really good example of how to go from doubting yourself and being in a hurt relationship to knowing what you want and not settling for anything less. And I think that's a good message that even if you do struggle and you are at that low point where you are in a relationship like that and you lose a lot of your self-worth, you can still come back from it. So it's always something you can come back from. And now she's this strong ass bitch who's like, nope. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this. This is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. And I respect that. And I'm really happy that we get to see that on TV. And I'm proud of her.
Here's one thing that I want to say. We're all talking about how Dale and her may have connected before this. But Blake says that he spoke to her before, correct?
Yeah, it doesn't change anything.
And nobody's really giving that a hard time. But they are giving it a hard time because Dale and her have a connection. And I think the whole point of this is for her to find that. And I think she deserves it. So however that happens, it should happen. So I think they're attacking it just because they have a connection, whereas Blake and her don't have that same strong connection. But he contacted her before, and it's up there. So
Blake's breaking all the rules, no one's complaining about Blake because they don't feel threatened.
Guys, right. I am the pot calling the kettle black. I got engaged to a girl who was never even on the show.
Yep.
I mean, listen, I'm gonna defend Dale.
I'm such an idiot. Like it didn't even cross my mind. I'm over here first to point my finger. Well, I've got 3 pointing back at me, and rightfully so. I'm. You know what? You go, Dale. You go, Claire. Do your thing.
However, you however you find happiness.
I just want to disappear right now. I'm such a fucking dipshit.
Stop. No. You're amazing and you're beautiful and you're wonderful.
I know. However, it was just a good example of like how
you find it.
You don't think that way. Whenever it's someone else, you're like, yeah,
right.
That's so fucked right. up. And I'm like, bitch, you done did the same and thing.
And it's the intimidation because they see the connection, but that's not fair.
Yeah.
Not that. You know,
I mean, who cares? At the end of the day, we're here for love and we're getting another bachelorette. So what do we care?
That's confirmed, right?
I have no idea. I mean, I still don't even know myself. I thought that we all.
I'm just saying it and putting it as the truth.
I think it's true. I mean, everyone's like saying, like, when's Tayshia coming? What if Tayshia never comes? What if her and Dale aren't? What if Claire and Dale aren't even together?
What if it's Kendall Long?
Yes, Kendall.
I'm just kidding. It's definitely Tayshia. I just am waiting. When is it going to come?
What if it's Sloth?
She'd never make it on the screen.
Because she's slow?
Mm-hmm.
Good one, Katie.
As she's chomping away.
Yeah, as she's destroying. The chicken parm I want. Let's put it in the oven. Okay. All right. Let's wrap this up. We got to go. This was actually so fun. I love that you guys did this here with me today. And I hope you guys liked it too. Oh my gosh, Katie, you are always welcome here.
We'll see what the people have to say about it.
Are you kidding me? They love you. They always love you. You're so well spoken. I'm the one that is. I make a dipshit out of myself all the time. Just Dippy Dimmy.
Just
that's
be, like,
my nickname.
The random girl that kept talking.
That's and Dippy that's Danielle.
Dippy Danielle.
Hi guys, this is Katie, and I'm here with Dippy Danielle and Dippy Demi. And this is our new track.
You can find us here weekly at Demi's couch at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Dial *67 and your own phone number if you want to vote for us to continue this trio podcast. All right. I love you guys. I love you bitches so much.
We love you so much.
Aw, thanks, guys. Y'all be safe out there and go like my latest Instagram post. Oh, and go follow Katie at Katie Emo. And you can follow Danielle at
DannyJo02. Wow, you didn't know that.
DannyJo02. Your name in my phone is spelled wrong just because it's funny to me at this point. It's because I was drunk whenever I put it in.
Wow.
So I always put, whenever I try to text you, I put D-A-I because I mix up the N and the I on
That's
Danny.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's Dane.
It's okay.
You're Dane.
All right. I'll take it.
You
respond to me.
I saw it. I went to go change it and I said, you know what? No, this is a pretty sweet memory. Like, this reminds me of the first time we hung out.
I had 2 bites of chicken parm.
Oh, we've got Queen Katie
back.
Here now. Me and Danielle are the servants.
Gave it back to Danielle to put away. She was really close.
Oven, Demi.
I'm going to go put it in there because I don't know if you know how to work my oven.
Wow.
It's like, what's more insulting? I don't know if you don't know how to work my oven, or he hands it to her to assume that she knows how to work it and she's going to go do it.
Well, you know, some people like the oven buttons is like sometimes you press.
Tomorrow.
Sometimes
tomorrow.
You just turn on the temperature. Sometimes you have to press cook time. Sometimes you have to press bake. Sometimes you have to do this.
Assuming you're going to do it or assuming you can't.
Damn, guys.
Well, I wouldn't try to figure out your oven on my own. I'd be like, help. But then again.
To each their own. Charlize Theron.
On that note.
She loves me, for the record. I hope she hears this. I love you.
I love some mad gab. Okay.
All right. And good night.